Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. As we look forward to a new year, 2021, what a great way to enter that new year by looking at the example of these wise men who come to follow Jesus, to seek him, and to be at his feet. This is going to be our inspiration for our text here today, and also our challenge, too, heading into 2021. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, I really like Charlie Brown. It always gives me a chuckle. Actually, Charlie himself gives me a chuckle. Charlie believed that he should be in two positions on the Peanut baseball team, and he firmly believed this. The two positions that Charlie had to be playing or taking up on the team were these: the manager of the baseball team and also the pitcher of the team. Charlie had to be those. The problem was he wasn't a very good pitcher. Whenever Charlie pitched, if you can remember the comic strip or some of the shows, whenever he pitched, he'd pitch and the ball would come right back at him. Hit hard, so hard that Charlie would spin head over heels and plop on down to the ground with his shirt taken off. Charlie adamantly still believed, was steadfast, that he still should be the manager and the pitcher of the team. Even when it rained outside and the other team didn't show up and his own team didn't show up, Charlie was there to be the pitcher. Every year they lost more than they won. In fact, they lost almost every single game. But Charlie would say, with one more win, we're there. We can be there for the championship. But on one occasion, Charlie really did finally figure out that probably being the manager and the pitcher was not such a great idea. And it happened when one of the other Peanut characters approached Charlie and wildly shouted out these words: "Charlie, we won a game. We finally won a game, and we broke our losing streak." And Charlie responded to his friend with this word: "Really? You mean you won? I wasn't there to manage the game. I stayed home and was sick." And the character responded back to Charlie: "Well, that's why we won. We did everything the exact opposite of how you've coached us, and we didn't miss you at all." And the scene ends with Charlie just saying, "Happy day." Charlie realized in the moment that he wasn't really in the positions that he should have been in for the team. Now, my friends, I share that with you here heading into 2021 because our gospel reading, which was read by Carol Gubrod, gives us a chance to really think about the positions that we are in. Are we in the right positions heading into the new year? How do we know if we're in the right position? Taking a look at our text, the wise men, as they meet King Herod, you'd probably come to the conclusion that King Herod was in a good position. He was king, and he had that title as the Great One, and he was known throughout the land. Now, King Herod used his position as king in certain ways. He used his position, first of all, to get more popularity. Isn't that what a king does? They want to get known. They want to get influence out to further kingdoms and to build their empire. And that happens by being more popular. So in King Herod, in our text, here's the news that a new king would be born in the region of Bethlehem. Not just that, but that there would be shepherds there would be people from a distant land coming to pay him honor, and that there'd be a star rising on the east that would also give honor to this new king. Herod wasn't excited. He wasn't excited because there was danger that his own popularity would be waned by the popularity of this new king. So Herod came up with a plan to get rid of this new king. You know how that worked. Herod came out with that decree to have every baby born, male baby born in Jerusalem, killed. That way, Herod could still be the most popular. This whole pattern repeated itself later on in Herod's life when he was around 70 years old. I mentioned it last week in my sermon. Herod wanted to be known and to be popular, and to do so, he wanted to knock off all the potential rivals around him. Herod used his position to get popularity. Don't we do the same thing with the positions that we're given, or we're at least tempted to do that? We want to be in that position where others can see us, to take the last shot in the game so that we can get the credit. We want others to see us so that we get that extra pat on our shoulder, knowing that we've done such a great job. We seek positions so that we can receive praise and popularity. Now, Herod did something else that other kings like to do. Herod used his position as king to ultimately get more possessions. Have you ever known a king that didn't have possessions? Herod had great possessions. We know from the Bible that Herod had his own temple, Herod's temple. He made the temple that Solomon had look tiny and really insignificant. Herod's temple was a special place, and of course, the Jews could gather there and offer their sacrifices and offer their offerings like they were prescribed in the Old Testament. But you see, Herod built that temple really so that the Jews could see him as their king, so that he could be seen as one who possesses quite a bit. Herod also had quite the living space, the living pad, in a town called Caesarea, out by the sea. That town was about 120,000 people in number. Herod had the best land that just went out into the waters. And it was there that he had ponds and vegetation unlike anybody else. Herod used his position to get more possessions. Aren't we tempted to do the same thing with the positions that we have? We are tempted to have more. And that if we have more, then we're successful and we have an identity in life and other people can admire us. Think about it. This last Christmas, $15 billion was spent by marketers to get you to buy more toys and games and items. Again, Herod used his position to do two things: to get more popular and to also have more possessions. The irony of our text today with the story of the wise men is this. The people that are in the best position and using their positions wisely, it's not King Herod. It's the wise men. Really? These wise men? Herod was the king. Herod had a title next to his name. He was the great one. Herod has books written about him. The wise men? They're the exact opposite. We know very little about these wise men. We don't know who they are. We don't have anything about their names. We know that they come from the east, but we really don't know much about them. And these wise men are the opposite of Herod. They have these possessions, but they don't use the possessions for themselves. They end up giving these possessions to a baby named Jesus. See, my friends, Matthew's gospel is putting a question out there for you by comparing the wise men to Herod. Matthew's gospel is asking you this. Will you take a position like the wise men? Not seek popularity, not seek possessions, but simply seek Jesus, to serve him and be at his feet. You know, it's funny, King Herod actually probably realized towards the end of his life that he had really lived a tragic life and that he never really had the right position, even though he had the title of king. Charlie Brown actually realized that as well in his life. At another moment with Charlie Brown, a funny incident occurred. Charlie was pitching for the team, and as he was pitching, he saw up in the stands a red-headed girl that he thought was very cute. That threw him off from his routine and pitching for the team, so much so that Charlie decided to take himself out. He couldn't do it. The girl was so cute. But then a funny thing happened. Linus came out. And Linus pitched for the team. And he pitched a perfect game. And the Peanuts team, baseball team, won the game. And Charlie had to sit on the bench and watch it all. To add insults to injury, that red-headed girl came down and gave Linus a big hug right in front of Charlie. At that moment, Charlie realized that he wasn't in the right position. And I think King Herod realized it as well. Even though he had that great name, had the great title as the Great One, he didn't have the right position. My friends, it's interesting with these magi that they are not called kings. They're called magi. That is a term to describe someone from the east who looks up at the stars. Now, we sing a song that's also in our worship service today, We Three Kings. We remember them as kings. They really are. How amazing they were as kings. They were much more kings than Herod ever was, because they stood aside and they really cast a light on the person that needed it, Jesus. And in a funny way, in an ironic way, these wise men also foreshadow the way the King of Kings would work for us, would work for you. You see, Jesus never sought after more and more possessions. He was offered everything. All kingdoms, all kind of authority. And he bypassed it, my friends, so that he could serve you. Jesus, he was offered all kind of popularity. In John's gospel, John chapter, I believe, 6 or 7, right in there, Jesus was offered the opportunity to be crowned king right in the moment. Jesus didn't take it because he didn't want popularity. He wanted to serve you. My friends, that's the kind of king you have in Jesus. You know, if you were to have a king today, you'd probably say, I don't want a king. They're going to give me more taxes and take away my land. I don't want a king. But if you had a king that served you and gave the very best of himself, yes, you would want that king. And that's what Jesus did. He gave the very few gifts that he had, which were his body and blood, so that you could have life everlasting, salvation, and the opening up of eternal life with your Creator. You know, growing up in Spokane, Washington, on the South Hill, I can remember my parents and their practice around Christmas quite well. My parents wouldn't call them evangelists, but they did one thing that was unique about their Christian faith, among other things. What they did was every single Christmas, or pretty much a couple days after Thanksgiving, they would go up into the garage and they would pull down a wise men scene, pull it out of the rafters and bring it down. My dad built it. That wise man scene was built out of wood, wood blocks, and had red and green lighting, and it had electricity hooked up to it that casted out the shadow, the projection of the wise men and some palm trees so that everyone could see it as they passed by our house. And then right next to that, there was a sign that said this: wise men still seek him. That sign also became the laughing stock of the community and neighborhood. People would come by and pelt the wise men with snowballs. Those silhouettes just looked like, you know, little targets to nail with snowballs. And as we went out for errands and came back, we would come back and see that the wise men were pelted with a bunch of snowballs. It was my role to go out and wipe the snowballs out and the snow that accumulated on those wise men. It was kind of a cheesy display, but every year we'd go out and bring it down from the rafters and put it out there and put that sign: wise men still seek him. My friends, the same is true today. People are still going to bypass the story of the wise men and throw their so-called snowballs at the wise men. The world will continue to seek after the example of Herod, seek popularity and possessions and positions that can increase those. But God is teaching us a lesson. The Apostle Paul would say it. God made the wisdom of this world foolishness in the giving to us of Jesus. We seek the example of my parents. We seek the example of these wise men. We seek Jesus. Now, how can we practically do that? What's the practical application of all of this? Just two things. Just want to challenge you with two things. Number one, what positions do you have right now? In other words, are you a husband? Are you a wife? Are you an employee? Ask yourself this question with your position. Are you seeking to serve others? Or are you using your position to serve yourself? And then a second question of challenge. How are you planning to seek Jesus this year? Is it going to be in worship? Is it going to be in prayer? Is it going to be in devotion? Whatever it is, we follow the example of these wise men. We put aside the example of Herod, and we join the wise men at the feet of Jesus. May that be the position that you take in 2021. Amen.